turn to the Gospel of John, the fourth chapter, is page 864 in your pew Bible. John chapter 4. By the time we're finished with this, we'll have this passage memorized, won't we? We're reading today again verses 1 through 10 of the Gospel of John chapter 4. Page 864 in your pew Bible. Looks like everybody's ready, so let's read God's Word together. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Thank you so much. You can be seated. This week I Googled the term "Ask Jesus," and I found an app that's titled "Ask Jesus." You ask Jesus a question, click on the image of Jesus to get an answer. There's also a website called askjesus.net where you type your question and it searches the Bible to provide an answer. There's also an AI Twitch channel that enables viewers to ask questions to an AI modeled on the life and teachings of Jesus. The Jesus is called AI Jesus, and he's available 24/7. There are also other sites called Talk to Him, Text with Jesus, Jesus Chat, and Divine Messenger. In this conversation that Jesus is having with this woman, he began with, "If you knew the gift of God," followed by, "And who it is that asks you for a drink." And so after saying to her, "If you knew me, and if you really knew who I was," he then turns around and says to her, "Then you would ask me." He puts the impetus on her. "You would ask me. If you knew me and if you knew who I was, you would be prompted to ask." In other words, what he is saying to her is that your knowledge of him affects your asking of him. Your knowledge of Jesus affects your asking of Jesus. And you know, it's true in life. If you have a limited knowledge of someone, you're probably going to make the requests that you make of them are going to be very limited. If I don't really know someone, I'm probably not going to jump in the car with them and say, "Hey, can you give me a ride home?" Because I don't really know them. I remember as a boy, when we would go up to see my dad's family up in Georgia, it seemed like every time we went, my dad would pick up a hitchhiker. And I can still remember my mom, she'd say, "Robert, don't stop and pick them up. You don't know, they may have a gun, they may knock you in the head," which might not have been a bad thing, but not the gun part. "Don't pick them up." And my dad would always stop, pick them up, find out who they were, take them somewhere, drop them off. But he wasn't afraid to pick up a hitchhiker. And they weren't afraid to get in the car with someone they didn't know. When it comes to asking, now though, we want to know who that person is. The more you know someone, the more at liberty you are to ask something of them. You know, that's how relationships work. They are designed to give you time to lower your defenses and open your hearts. There are some things that you feel very comfortable of asking of this person because you know them quite well. You've known them for years, that you would not ask of a person that you just met last week. The more we know someone, the more acquainted we are with them, the more intimate our relationship is with them, the more open we are and the more honest we are and the more vulnerable we are to ask something of them. So Jesus' use of this word ask is predicated upon his statements to her earlier. If you knew who I was, if you knew who I am, if you really knew me and you were acquainted with me and you were intimate with me and you didn't just know me by the fact that I'm a Jew, but you really knew who I was, then you would feel free to ask something of me. My vision, my awareness, my perception, and my understanding of who he is has a direct bearing on my prayer life. My vision, my perception, my understanding, and my awareness of who he is has a direct bearing on my prayer life. If I know him as my friend, as my Savior, as my Lord, as my companion, as the one who has been with me through all my life, and I'm in a place of security with him, then I feel free to open up my heart and say, Jesus, through your Spirit, search me, show me, touch me, use me in this area. But if I don't really know him, if I think he's judging me, if I'm not sure he's forgiven me, if I'm thinking that he's watching for me to make the least little error, the least little slip-up, the least little mistake, I'm going to be very, very limited if I pray at all in what I ask him for. I think the greatest hindrance in prayer is not time, it's not commitment, it's not even discerning, ascertaining what his will is. I believe the greatest hindrance in our prayer life today is that we really don't know him. It's our lack of knowledge of him. It's the perception that we've had ingrained in our mind through someone, through something, that has become the image that we have of God, and that's the way we see him. And so all of our prayers and our presenting needs to him are based upon how we perceive him. We're often like two of Jesus' apostles, James and John. Mark records this in the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Now, the reason Jesus said that is because Jesus understood. Not only did they not know what they were asking, they didn't know him. They knew him as Jesus. They saw what he did, but they did not know who he was. Because now notice what they did a little bit later. That's recorded in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 51. As the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome Jesus because he was heading to Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John, now remember, just a few days ago, they're saying, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, we want you to give us the one thing we're asking for. When you come into your kingdom, let one of us sit on your right hand and one on the left. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. This is what they say now. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked Jesus, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" You know what they just did? They proved why Jesus could not give them what they asked for, because they didn't know who he was. He was not there to call fire down from heaven. They totally misunderstood his kingdom. They misunderstood his reason for being. They misunderstood the reason he came. And so all their requests for him were based on this misconception, this wrong perception of who is Jesus. And we're guilty of the same thing sometimes in our prayer lives. We come to him in prayer, but in the back of our mind we have this image of God, this image of Jesus. And so because we really don't know him, we don't know who he is, we're not intimate enough with him to just be able to throw our hearts open to him and say, "Jesus, this is what I'm asking you." James wrote this in the 4th chapter, the 3rd verse, speaking about prayer. He said, "When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." You know, when you know someone, as I said earlier, when you know someone, there's an ease in asking that person. If someone were to walk up as a guest here on a Sunday morning, I probably would not ask them anything. If I might ask them anything, it would probably be something very surface level, like, "How'd you find out about Pisgah? Do you live near Pisgah? Or are you from out of town?" But I would not say to them, "What do you think about my wife's hair?" In fact, there's none of you I know that well, okay? But, you know, we have those boundaries that we set. Knowing him, knowing who he is, not just that he's a historical figure, but knowing who he is, it gives me boldness in my prayer life. One of my favorite authors is passed away now, is Henry Nouwen. And he wrote a book, several books. One of them is called "You're the Beloved." And I want to read you just a couple of paragraphs out of that book. Nouwen writes this: "Our lives are destined to become like the life of Jesus. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry is to bring us to the house of his Father. Not only did Jesus come to free us from the bonds of sin and death, which is oftentimes the limit of our knowledge of him, he also came to lead us into the intimacy of his divine life. It is difficult for us to imagine what this means. We tend to emphasize the distance between Jesus and ourselves. We see Jesus as the all-knowing and all-powerful Son of God who is unreachable for us sinful, broken human beings. But in thinking this way, we forget that Jesus came to give us his own life. He came to lift us up into loving community with the Father. Only when we recognize the radical purpose of Jesus' ministry will we be able to understand the meaning of the spiritual life. Everything that belongs to Jesus is given for us to receive. All that Jesus does, we may also do." That's why I said the greatest hindrance in our prayers is that lack of knowledge, that lack of intimacy, that lack of really knowing his heart. And so because we don't know his heart, we're hesitant in prayer. And in fact, sometimes we don't even pray because we think, "Well, I know God's not going to do this. This is beyond. This is the unimaginable. This is too far beyond." But listen to what Paul wrote in Ephesians 3:12. He says, "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." Do those two words describe your prayer life? Freedom and confidence. The writer of Hebrews said this in chapter 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne with confidence. There's that word again, confidence, so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. And then later on in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, we find these words. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence, there's that word again, confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. I have confidence in praying because I know who He is. If I ask something of Sherry, I have confidence that she's going to do it because I know who Sherry is. If I say to her, honey, I sure would like some biscuits in the morning for breakfast, I have confidence that Sherry is going to get up that morning early, go to the freezer, pull out that bag of Martha B. biscuits, set a thing of buttermilk there so I'll think they're homemade, throw those things on a pan and in the oven they go. I have confidence because I know her. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, because we know Him, we have confidence when we pray. We don't pray like just kind of hit and miss. We don't pray just hoping that somehow I can manipulate God and twist God's arm and coerce Him in doing what I want to do. I pray in the direction and in the way that I pray because I have confidence in Him, because I know Him. That's why oftentimes in prayer I will quote 1 Peter 5:7, where Peter writes, casting all your cares, your anxieties upon Him. And then he tells us why. Because He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for me. That should be the way I come into prayer. The way I come to ask Him something is that the first thing in my mind is this: God cares for me. And when I understand that God cares for me, it removes all the whys, the whens, the wheres, the whos, the hows. I know He cares for me. So how He answers the prayer, when He answers the prayer, the way He answers the prayer, the timing He takes to answer the prayer, what He brings me through in answering that prayer, all of that is set aside because I know He cares for me. God wants to answer prayer. He wants to answer prayer. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And then later in that same chapter, the 11th verse, Jesus said this, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? John 15:7. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. John 16:24. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy will be complete. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. I have a very vivid imagination. That's probably from not living around any kids my age, so I always had to play. All my games had to be done, you know, I had to be the other person as well. I learned to play Monopoly by being on both sides of the board. And so because I have that kind of imagination, sometimes I imagine conversations in my mind. I had one such thing yesterday. I'm not crazy. I had one such thing yesterday. I've told Sherry. I said, you know what I want to do? I have two, my granddaughter, Sean's daughter, my grandson, Ryan's son, will both be 16 next year. Riley will be 16 in August. Parker will be 16 in September. So I told Sherry, I said, here's what I want to do. I want to give one of my two grandchildren my car as a gift. And yesterday I was playing it all out in my mind because I know both my sons. My oldest son will say, Dad, that's okay. We're going to get her something. Not my youngest son. So I went through the whole thing yesterday. How will I do it? Well, I'm going to take him to lunch. And I'm going to invite him to bring Parker along with him. And I'm going to have the car there. And it's going to be all waxed and detailed, all looking sharp. And I'm going to have the title of the car there. And I'm going to say, Parker, what Peepaw would like to do is this. Peepaw would like to give you his car for you to drive. It's yours. I'm going to sign the title right now, give it to you. Now, am I doing that because Parker is such a good boy and does such good things and calls me every week to see how Peepaw is doing? No. I do that because I'm going to get a new car out of that. or a used truck. No, I do that. We do that because we love and we get joy in giving to those we love. When you and I come to prayer, the Father is not sitting on this throne with His arms crossed, scowling down at you, thinking, who in the world are you to come and ask me that? No. His arms are open. His arms are wide open. He wants to answer our prayers. But what He wants far more than that is He wants us to feel so at ease with Him that we come and bring Him even the most audacious request. We bring Him the things that only God could answer. We bring Him the things we struggle with. We bring Him that which causes us to weep. We bring Him that which causes us to have fear. We bring Him that which causes us to be unsettled inside. We bring that to Him because He wants us to open ourselves up and say, Father, I don't know how You're going to do this, but I believe You can do this because I know You. Because I know Your heart. Jesus says to this woman, if you knew me, and if you knew who I was, you'd then ask me. There it is. We began this 3 weeks ago. Do you know Him? And we followed that up with, who is He? And now we come to the part of, yes, I know Him, and yes, I know who He is. And so now it brings me to the point of, so what am I going to do with that? And what the Scripture invites me to do is this, to come before Him boldly and to say, Father, I know You, and you know me, here's what I'm asking you to do. You see, we don't need a website or an app. We don't need an AI Twitch. I understand the AI, what the Twitch is. I don't know if that's what happens when you hit the button. You Twitch. We don't need those things. I don't have to be timid or fearful in my prayers. You and I don't have to be fearful or timid in our prayers because we know Him. But not only do we know Him, we know who He is. We know His heart just as He knows our hearts. And so the admonishment that Jesus was giving to this woman is the admonishment that the Spirit gives us today. Ask. 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 Don't stop asking. Don't sit around and try to figure out, is this God's will? Is it not God's will? You know, what does this person say about it? This person say, just ask. Because you know Him. Because you know who He is. And because He knows you, we can come and ask. Gracious Father, thank You for the knowledge we have of who You are. That we can come boldly before Your throne, that we can ask, in the assurance that You are the loving Father who desires to give good things to those who ask Him. We can come, Father, because Your Son Jesus encouraged us to ask, to seek, to knock, to have faith and confidence in You. Lord, today, as our knowledge of who You are expands, may our faith expand in that same proportion. That we would ask boldly. That we would ask audaciously. That we would ask for those things that people say that can never be. That we would ask for those things because we remember the words that the angel gave to Mary. With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Lord, today, stir our faith up that we would ask. For it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.